The Morning Show with Greg Berg is next. Support for the Morning Show comes from Carthage College, home of the Aspire program, and its multifaceted approach to career preparation. The new program is designed to cultivate leadership and entrepreneurial skills while empowering each Carthage student to shape a custom career development plan from the first days on campus. Learn more about the Aspire program at carthage.edu/aspire.
Welcome you to the Morning Show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg, and I am on the ground floor of the Inspire Center. Right above us are the studios of WGTD, but we're in a different part of the building today, in a very exciting part of the building, where there are some incredible technologies at work to assist students and faculty who are involved in some of the most important and groundbreaking programs here at Gateway Technical College. We're specifically going to be visiting a class that is part of the PTA program, the Physical Therapist Assistant program here at Gateway. And so we're going to be seeing some students who are in their last year, maybe their last semester of study here at Gateway. And as we visit this classroom, we're going to be seeing for ourselves one of the most spectacular bits of technology that enhances the work of these students and faculty, the Animatage, which is something straight out of science fiction from what I understand. I'm going to be seeing it for the first time along with all of you. We have four people from the faculty and staff here at Gateway joining us today. We have Morgan Kaiser, who is Director of Skills and Simulation here at Gateway, Katrina McGovern, who is a nursing lab assistant, Tracy Gotts, who is a physical therapy assistant instructor, and this is her class that we are visiting today, and Ann Ryuta, who is a lab assistant for the PTA program, and she is an alum of the program. So first of all, we welcome all of you to the Morning Show. Glad that you're making time for this in your busy schedules. So Morgan Kaiser, maybe just give our listeners a sense of this whole floor and how it fits into the not only the PTA program, but the nursing program and other programs here at Gateway. What happens in this floor?
Sure. So rightly so, we're named the Inspire Center. We really want to inspire our future healthcare workers to pursue their dreams and their careers. So this first floor here is filled with a lot of our technology, like the Animatage table that we'll see, but we also host our simulation center with our simulators and just different technology that our students can use to better prepare for their futures.
And although we won't be taking the time to look at it today, maybe you could just describe to our listeners these simulators, because it's really something that is relatively new in your field from what I understand.
Right. Yeah, so we have our family of simulators. So they're basically mannequins, you know, head to toe. They look like humans, but they're run by computer. They have heart sounds, lung sounds, bowel sounds, and we can even talk as them, so they can respond to our students when they ask questions.
Wow. It's incredible. Someday we'll get a look at that. So Katrina McGovern, you are a nursing lab assistant. So what are the kinds of things that you are specifically involved in here?
So really, I just manage or coordinate the schedules, casual staffs, make sure everything's running here in the skills labs.
Right. And I suppose a whole lot of students and faculty are in and out of this. What kind of turnover are we talking about?
So within a week, we have approximately 140 to 160 students in and out. We run Monday through Saturday. Monday through Friday, usually 8 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Saturdays all day, 7 to 3. So,
a busy place, and you yes. keep everything straight. So Tracy Gotts and Ann Ryuta, you have hands-on involvement specifically with the physical therapy assistant program. So tell us, first of all, what a typical physical therapy assistant does and what relationship is there between what they do and what a physical therapist does.
So a physical therapist assistant works under the direction and supervision of a physical therapist. So the physical therapist will do the evaluation, and then they develop a plan of care, which includes like what types of activities, interventions they want to happen during therapy, how often they want that to happen, and what the goals for the patient are. And then from there, the physical therapist assistant can do those interventions. So they might be doing strengthening, they might be doing stretching, balance training, functional training, like getting them in and out of bed, into a chair, gait training, helping them walk again after a surgery or an illness. And then along that, they are constantly in communication with the physical therapist to make sure that they're meeting their patient's goals.
So literally and figuratively, this is the hands-on work is often done by the physical therapy assistant rather than the physical therapist himself or herself.
Yep, absolutely. And then they'll check back in with the physical therapist and they can revise the goals as needed. But the hands-on therapy is often done by a PTA.
I love the name of this particular class that we are invading and interrupting today, Rehab Across the Lifespan. Explain what's kind of packed into that interesting title.
So this is a fourth semester class, so it's one of the classes they take before they graduate, and it basically is getting us all the way throughout the life cycle, so from birth to the geriatric population. Many of the things we've learned up until now have been kind of just geared towards the middle-aged adult, because that's a lot of the patients that we see. But now what we've done in this class is we have gone over to the child care center on campus to observe some typical child development, and then we've kind of practiced some hands-on skills for the kiddos that we might treat in therapy. We've learned some about some women's health and men's health, so what women might experience during pregnancy, or some pelvic floor therapy if people have issues with that as they age. We will do some adaptive sports, so the students get a chance to play wheelchair basketball and observe actual wheelchair basketball being played, and then kind of learn some of the things that will happen. It's the typical aging process of people as people reach the geriatric age, and then some atypical things that we see, because we learn that a lot of people think, well, if this is normal for old people to have this problem, well, a lot of the problems aren't normal for that age. When we show them that people as they age still are very active in their lives, and we want to keep them as active as possible.
Right. So we shouldn't just accept the aches and pains that we think naturally and inevitably come with older age, that sometimes they're very specific issues that can and should be addressed.
Absolutely. Yep.
You were also telling me before we began recording that you have done a lot of work with real youngsters. I mean, really, really small children, even infants. And I think for a lot of us, we would never even think about a physical therapist having anything to do with a youngster who's 9 months old or a year and a half old. What are the kinds of things that you would typically be doing with somebody that young?
So for people that have had children, kids learn their gross motor skills. They kind of just do them on their own, right? They're playing on the floor. They learn how to crawl. They kind of get up and take a couple steps. Some kids don't learn things on their own, so they need a little bit of help with that. So maybe they were born either extremely premature or they have some type of neuromuscular issue that makes it a little more difficult. So in that aspect, I've taught kids how to roll, crawl, sit, walk. We just are really, it's the same as with adults. We're strengthening their muscles and helping keep them stretched out, and then helping put them through the positions that they need to do in order to do those functional mobility.
So a youngster who, for instance, is slow to walk or slow to crawl, it would be a physical therapist, perhaps, who might make the difference in allowing them to do what maybe comes more quickly and naturally for another youngster.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
That's great. I want to talk for a moment with Ann Ryuta, who is an alum of this program and now working in it. So first of all, just a quick word about what drew you to the program and drew you to the field in the first place.
Well, I've always had a desire to work in healthcare and to help people. I love watching people progress, get stronger, overcome some challenges that happen in life. I think that's what really drew me to the program. I've been a PTA going on 15 years now, so I've been treating for quite some time. And it is just great to come back and be a lab assistant for the PTA program to kind of make everything full circle and help all the future therapists out there join the community.
Very good. Do you get to still work as a PTA, or are those days behind you?
Yeah, well, they're behind me for now, but I'll be revisiting them soon.
Oh, I'm glad. Well, again, we thank all of you for making time in your busy schedule to allow this visit. For those of you just joining us for the morning show, we are on the ground floor of the Inspire Center, and we are interrupting a physical therapy assistant class called Rehab Across the Lifespan. And our hosts today, Morgan Kaiser, Director of Skills and Simulation, Katrina McGovern, a nursing lab assistant here, Tracy Gotts, a physical therapy assistant instructor, and this is her class we are interrupting, and Ann Ryuta, an alum of the program who is now a lab assistant for the PTA program. So what we really want to do today, and the reason why we are doing this not only as an audio program but a visual program today, is because we are going to be shown a spectacular piece of machinery that is a relatively new addition to what goes on here in the Inspire Center, the Animatage. So, Morgan, tell us a little bit about how this came to Gateway. I understand it has a lot to do with President Albrecht himself.
Yes. This is something that he saw when he toured another college and was like, we need it here. We're all about technology and really involving our students and having them have that hands-on opportunity in the classroom. And so it's something that we brought here. Sometimes if you've watched any medical TV shows, they'll have this piece of equipment on there as well. And we're really proud to have it here. When we give our tours to high school students, medical school students, they just see it and they know how to use it right away. And it really gets them excited to enter a field here at Gateway Technical College.
I hadn't thought about that. So in addition to just the actual value it is for them and for their studies, it's also in a sense a way to get people excited about the field itself. That's not inconsequential, I should think. So before this was secured, what was used instead in its place?
Really either textbooks, PowerPoints, different medical models. I know Tracy has some that she brought to show you of what her class has used before, but they really didn't have this digital hands-on experience where they could take something apart and put it back together. Our other option was going with a real cadaver, but smell, cost, and the ability to put it back together isn't always an option. So having something with a click of a button and we could put the body back together, this was really our best option.
Amazing. Tracy, yeah, I think it would be great if we round the corner maybe, and before we look at the Animatage, show us the Stone Age, the way this used to be done. So, or whatever you... Ah, okay. Hello, everybody. So once upon a time, this is what one of the tools that you would use to teach physical therapy assistants.
Right. So this was kind of one of the advanced tools, because we had some pictures and we had PowerPoint and the textbooks, like Morgan mentioned, and this was kind of the hands-on option that we had to look at. So, and it still has some benefits. It definitely has benefits for the students. So it's got the muscles numbered on here. So mainly I use the Animatage table to show the muscles. And so this is a muscle model, and it has all of them, but it's got some parts that are attached. It's got some parts that are attached, and they come off so we can look at things underneath it, but it's only whatever the manufacturers decided should be able to come off, so we could see like what's underneath that muscle, and then you know getting it back on. One of the things we like to look at is, if we're showing kind of the deep muscles underneath the abs, we can do this and show the organs, but occasionally things will fall off of that when that happens. So and then it's kind of trying to get it all back together. But then if a student wants to see something that's even deeper than this, we can't do that if the manufacturer didn't think that that was an important thing for us to be able to look at.
Right. And I'm just curious, how would it be helpful for a physical therapy assistant to know that that's where the colon is and that's where the intestines are and that's where the stomach is? I mean, is that specifically helpful for the work that a PTA does?
So that can be helpful, especially if you're working in an outpatient clinic. So Wisconsin has what's called direct access for physical therapy. So patients can go to physical therapy without going to their primary care physician first. So a patient could come in with some with some type of shoulder pain potentially that really is a gallbladder issue. And so typically the physical therapist would look at that, and they maybe do some palpation, and they might notice, okay, maybe I think this is a gallbladder thing. You need to go back to see your doctor. It's not really a shoulder issue.
Got you. So when I say I have this pain here, I think I pulled a muscle, a PTA, if they know what's underneath the muscles, is in a better position to say, that might not be a pulled muscle, and let's explore this further.
Exactly. And the other thing is some of the muscles are deep. So some of your hip muscles are actually like behind the intestines. So we want the students to know exactly where those muscles are in here, so that if they're trying to actually stretch those muscles, do some manual therapy, that they're kind of knowing where, like, to kind of move the intestines out of the way a little bit.
So I really misspoke then, didn't I, when I said, and I'll take us back to the Stone Age, because this is something you still use, even with the fancy machinery behind us. This is still valuable and still plays a role.
Absolutely. So we still use this, but I feel like the students are able to get a better idea of all of where the muscles are and how kind of the muscles are layered, and especially even in addition to the organs, by using the technology that we have now, the table.
How much variation is there? This is more of a PTA question in general, but I think our listeners might be intrigued to know. How wide a variation is there from person to person in terms of, I mean, obviously there's dramatic differences in size between someone who's 5'2" or someone who's 6'10" and the way they're built. How big a complication is that for someone who is studying this kind of work and being able to do it well?
There's definitely a variation between people that you see in the clinic. So when we look at the table, we'll see that we typically use, there's multiple bodies on the table. We typically use one who is a Caucasian male because his muscles are more defined. He appeared to have worked out quite a bit, so his muscles are a little bit bigger. So we look at that because it's easier to see those muscles. But in actual patients in the clinic, you may have somebody that has some extra layers of adipose tissue, or, you know, there are winter insulators in Wisconsin, or just different size in general. So the students, when they practice, after they learn where the muscles are on the table or where the bony landmarks are, they then in lab will practice it on each other. And we intentionally have the students practice on different partners all the time because, you know, female versus male versus, you know, muscular or less muscular or whatever it is, just to see the variations. And then after they've done that in lab, then they have actual 3 clinical experiences where they're out in the clinic paired with a PT or PTA. And then they, you know, have gotten very confident with each other in the classroom, so then they can see those variations on their patients as well.
Very good. So one size doesn't exactly fit all,
right?
But you try to show as much as you can to all of your students and give them as wide a range of experience as possible. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, here's the big reveal, and you're going to be showing us now this incredible piece of machinery that makes such a dramatic difference. And wow. There is the simulated cadaver, I guess, but we're talking about an actual person.
Right.
And this is someone, I understand, who made the choice to donate their body to science?
Yes, this particular person, his name is Carl, and he was actually an inmate. And so the company has given us a little bit of history about each of the bodies that are on here, and he actually was he died from lethal injection, so I don't know how that works with making the decision to donate your body in that situation, but yes. And then they do very thin cut scans to get him onto the technology side of this to show up.
So this is an example of one of several different simulated cadavers or digital cadavers that are part of this animatage. So explain to us how you would make use of this and how you interact with this piece of machinery in the course of a given class.
What we do in the class that I teach this in is we go through each of the joints individually and learn about each of the muscles that control that joint. So we might start at the hip joint, for example, and we could just go through and I can show them, like, if I just am tapping on, it'll tell me this is the purple one is the rectus femoris muscle, and then this would be the sartorius muscle, and it's going to go through and name each of those. When I initially teach this, then the students are sitting in the chairs, and I'm kind of doing like a mini lecture up here, and they can see it on the big screen as I'm teaching it. Then what we do is we'll break up into small groups, and I have one of the groups is looking at the muscle model. One of the groups is maybe looking at a skeleton with some bands to figure out where exactly those muscles might be on the bones or on themselves. And then one of the groups is coming up here, and they can, the students can themselves interact with this and see the muscles and find where they are. So we can just have the muscles labeled, or we can do kind of like, we can do a dissection. So like I mentioned, one of the hip muscles is underneath the abs and the intestine. So I can just dissect layer by layer. So I just pulled away that first layer of the ab muscles. And then I am pulling away the next part just by tapping it. It pulls it away. So I'm getting down to the four layers of abs. And now I've gotten down to where like the abdominal organs are, for example.
So this is, in a sense, taking us deeper and deeper into the body. What can you tell us about how this was created and how these different layers were captured digitally? Is it that Carl was, in a sense, dissected layer by layer, and each of those steps in the, or each of those stages was captured for us to see?
You know, I'm not the best person to talk to that. I don't know if Morgan could better answer that question. Do you know?
Yes.
So, okay.
Sorry. No, it's okay. No problem. Yes, you're absolutely correct. So he was preserved. I think they cold water preserved him, you know, submerged him in cold water so they could keep his body, and then they slowly dissected and took images, like ever so microscopically, and then were able to put it together into this piece of technology. So, and he's not the only one. Like Tracy had mentioned, there's multiple other people on this table as well, real humans. So they do have their abnormalities in them too. And so different students have been able to find these abnormalities as they look at the body. And the neat thing too is they've captured animals and different images on this table. So it's more than what we're just seeing today.
Wow. And is every unit essentially the same in terms of what it contains? I mean, the number of images, is that's consistent unit to unit?
Yes, and actually they just came out with an update too for the table. This company is very proactive to meet the needs of their users. So the newest update is going to show us actually the heart beating and how it works, so our students can see that in even more detail. So as technology continues to improve every year, so does this table. So our students are going to learn more and more.
Wow, very good. Thanks for the insight. So, for instance, for your purposes in terms of teaching future PTAs who are in the classroom with us, what would be something that would be very specific to your field and very specific to what the work that they're going to do that would be helpful in terms of using this unit?
So the primary way we use it is to teach the location of the muscles. The students have to learn the origins and insertions of all of the, well, most of the muscles in the body. So we really get them to understand where exactly the muscles are in the body. So we can look at, like, rotating him around then to see the muscles on the back. And like, our models will show us, if we look at that model that we looked at earlier, it has one side has, like, the superficial layer and one side has a deep layer, but it's hard to understand how that compares. So here I can, again, I can pull it apart so you can see what's underneath that. Now, if I want that muscle to come back, I can just bring that muscle back there that way. Also, I can do, I'm just naming muscles this way. So just being able to, so we really spend these units where I'm just looking, clicking through, naming this muscle, talking about the action of this muscle, where exactly it is on a person, and then what exactly that muscle does. So, and first of all, that's just important for the fundamental knowledge of a PTA so that they know where the muscles are, what the muscles do, how they can stretch a muscle or strengthen a muscle. And then as they're, after they graduate and they're learning learning more things, one of the things that you might need to know that for is when you kinesiotape somebody. So if you've watched the Olympics, right, you see the people that are all taped up. So that's part of a physical therapy treatment that we might do, and it's important to know where the origin and insertion of the muscle are so that you can tape in the right to the right places to make it work correctly.
Now, I understand that you can take us all the way to the skeletal structure. Is that right?
Yep.
And is that something you can show us?
Yes. So we can, if we pull them down, it'll go layer by layer, and it just kind of slowly is taking down each layer this way. There's a couple different ways you can do this. So this is one of the ways where it's taking me down. It's taken all the muscles off, and it's taken me to get to the skeletal system. Or again, I could go back if I wanted to specifically look at the leg, and I could just kind of peel every layer away like you would do if you took an actual dissection class where you dissected a cadaver. It'd be the same way, but it's just a digital dissection instead, or a virtual dissection.
Right. Would you mind doing that again in reverse, nice and slow, just like you were doing, and as she draws the unit slowly, then theoretically other layers should be appearing, although I'm not seeing anything at
they're
the
coming,
moment.
They're coming.
Ah, okay. And so it's so interesting. I mean, so now we're seeing some muscle, but we're seeing some skeletal elements. And so in a sense, the human body is not as simply put together as we might think, where there's a skeleton, and then on top of the skeleton is all this other stuff. But in fact, the layering is more complicated than that.
Absolutely. So the muscles have to attach to the bone in order to make the bone work. So this is showing kind of like the deepest muscle layers that we wouldn't necessarily get to see on that muscle model, because we're not able to take it down to that deep of a level. So this would show us the deepest level, and then we could add. And these are still muscles that people would have issues with. For example, here's the piriformis muscle. That's a muscle that people commonly go to therapy to treat, is piriformis issues. So then that's letting you see where exactly that muscle is and the alignment of that muscle. So if I need to do some manual therapy on that muscle or some stretching on that muscle, I really understand where that muscle is.
We spent a lot of time talking about musculature. Do PTAs deal with skeletal issues every bit as much as muscular issues?
They do. Typically, they're musculoskeletal issues, so it's issues that, you know, where the muscle's attaching to the bone. People can have fractures, but we have to wait for the fracture to heal, so that would be a skeletal issue. So we have to wait for the fracture to heal before we can actually do any therapy with that. But then the muscle is going to pull on that bone, so we have to understand where exactly it's pulling on that bone, so we know what type of movement we're allowed to do with that patient as their fracture's healing or after their fracture's healed, and what type of movement we're not allowed to do.
Fascinating. I'm just curious from Katrina, who is a nursing lab assistant. So the nurses, nursing students, would they utilize this technology in relatively the same way, or are there different things that they would be learning from this?
So our nursing instructors actually use this more in the pathophysiology, like how, when the heart is beating, what does it look like, or what's the path or the chamber that the blood flow is going through. So they definitely use it in a similar sense, but maybe just a different section of the body or organ of the body.
Right, yeah. And less for physical therapy then.
Correct.
We
very
can
good.
Open that. We can make different, so we can make just certain systems show up. So I could just have the cardiovascular.
Oh, wow. So, okay. System. And now we're suddenly seeing the veins and arteries,
and then.
And
this will also show blood flow. Here we go. So there's a tool that if I push this and then touch one of the veins and arteries, it'll show the flow of blood, which is a fun tool for this
yeah.
table.
So now we see exactly the pathways and the direction in which they go.
Right.
Wow. That's
and so
amazing.
This would be more of a nursing instructor visual.
This is not something that PTA students would necessarily need to know to the same extent, at least.
Not to the same extent as nurses, but PTA definitely, they take a cardiopulmonary class, and they take a neuro rehab class. So we do use some of the circulation things on here, or the nervous system things on here as well. But yes, not to the extent that the nurses do.
Would you mind bringing back the graph that you had before where you chose cardiovascular, but just wanted to see what the other options are? So you can show us the nervous system, the lymphatic system, the respiratory system. Would you mind showing us the lymphatic?
Oops, so we can, let's see, turn it on. Let's see, there we go.
And so now we're seeing the lymph nodes of the body. I was curious to see this just because my wife took a tumble at work and is having some issues with her lymph system because of the injury she sustained and is in physical therapy or was. And I never would have expected that system of the body would have anything to do with what a physical therapist does. So it reminds us of how complicated the human body is. Now, there are others besides Carl who are in this unit.
I have...
So pressing some other button.
So we opened up, when you first open it up, oh, that's not the right one, I'm sorry. When you first open it up, it takes a little, there we go. So this is a female who, again, we had the muscles open. So you can see the difference in the definition of her muscles and just her overall size compared to Carl. So this is a one-to-one ratio of the size that they actually were. So we can see the difference in size. And I think this, I shouldn't tell you this because you'll want me to find it and I won't be able to find it because it's not my area.
Okay.
But I think this is the cadaver that has an enlarged appendix, which I know the surgical technology instructors were really interested in showing their students because then there's a measuring tool on here where you can actually measure the appendix to see knowing what size it normally is versus what size it was in this cadaver.
Wow. And for the most part, these images are exactly lifelike in the sense of, for instance, color and texture. These are not digitally enhanced in any way, or in some cases, are they, for the sake of clarity?
I think the color is probably digitally enhanced, but otherwise, like, the size and the structures are fairly accurate.
I want to bring Ann in for just a moment. She is a lab assistant for the PTA program, and she is an alum. So I want you to just say a word about how you studied this kind of thing without this technology, presumably, and what a difference you see it making in the students that now that you're working with.
It is a very big difference. When I was going through the program, I was just basically using textbooks and flashcards, and this is just a great tool for, I think, a student to be able to see everything in layers. It's very difficult to learn about different muscles of the body. There are some that are beneath, some that are more superficial. So I think this table really shows that to the students, where I feel like in my class, we struggled a little bit more to understand that. And over time, it made sense. But in the beginning, it's a lot to try and take in just from a textbook.
Right, right. I can see how this would get people excited and just make things clearer. So typically, for instance, in this class, how do you use this in terms of what kinds of things do you tackle? And do you use this nearly every day, or is this something that happens towards the beginning or towards the end? How does this fold into all that you do in the classroom?
So the primary time we use it, we actually use it in the kinesiology class. They have kinesiology 1 and kinesiology 2 class that they're each a semester long. And we will come over for each unit that we're doing. So, for example, the hip unit's the first unit. And then we move to the knee, and then we move to the foot and ankle. And so we'll come over at the beginning of the unit to go over the muscles. And so we're usually maybe here 1 to 2 days of that unit, where maybe that unit will be maybe like 4 to 6 class sessions. So then we're here for 1 to 2 of those days to look at the muscles. And then we've also had open labs available where Amy's been with the students that she can meet with them and they can have more one-on-one student time where they're actually engaging with the table itself instead of just us standing up here showing it to them. But they do, when I teach it to them during the 1 to 2 sessions, we have the students come up in small groups so that they're able to have hands-on with it. Because like I said with the manufacturer before on the models, like it only can see what it's letting me, what it wants us to see or what it thinks we need to see. So when I'm demonstrating to the students, they may want a closer look at a muscle that I didn't really think, you know, was thinking about. And so they can come up and they can manipulate them, and it helps with their learning if they're the ones manipulating it and figuring out the layers instead of just watching it in a lecture.
Right. Is there a Zoom feature on this?
There is. So you really, it's kind of just like all of our technology. Well, no, there we go. Like our technology that we use. So it's really just separating it with your fingers to kind of zoom in. You can, like I said, you can turn it to look at the muscles kind of inside the leg. We can look at, like if I actually, let's see, if I cut the body in half, we can turn it so I can look at the...
Oh, my word.
Like the transverse view of it, where I'm looking up, like I can look up the bone and see the muscles underneath the bone that way. You can move them a little bit so you can see a little bit better. So there's lots of different things to do with it. And to be perfectly honest, I'm still learning every time that I use this with the students because there are so many different options with this that I'm still learning more and more things that I can show the students with this.
I can well imagine. So just to describe to our radio listeners who aren't seeing this image, so it is this electronic image of this cadaver as though it's laying on a bed, but with the touch of a button, that cadaver was essentially cut in half. We had just the top half, and then Tracy was able to rotate it, in a sense, upwards. This is all happening on a screen, and so then we are, in a sense, able to look up into the body and see it from that angle, which is amazing. Is this technology that, by and large, behaves?
For the most part, it's very sensitive. So when the students are around it and they're trying to look at something, you know, they're very engaged. Maybe they're kind of leaning on the side of it, and then it, you know, I have to, okay, you got to back up. Just don't touch the surrounding part. One person can touch it at a time. So that's probably the biggest issue. And then like other technology, if it's not working, you know, if you just turn it on and turn it off and turn it back on again,
there's always the cord to unplug. Yeah. So the Animatage likes its personal space. So. Very good. So there is an update that is on the way from the sounds of it. And so, I mean, as spectacular as this is right now, it's going to become a still more useful tool for you in the future from the sounds of it.
Absolutely. And one of the other features it has that we are trying to incorporate into our class, let's see if I can bring back what we had before, is that there is a quiz feature.
Quizzes, yay.
I know, students' favorite. but I can pick... I can either make a quiz for the students, or I can just pick a quiz that's already been developed. So I could pick a quiz about the arm, and then let's see. Here's technology again. Okay, so we're gonna pick the muscular system, and then hold on. This is my apply. That was the one that I forgot.
There we go.
And then it'll ask me to find these things on.
And so there's a small box on the screen with the left ulna, and then the student gets to point to that to indicate that they know what the left ulna is.
Right, so let's see if the instructor can get it right. Yeah. So it's over here. Now part of that is the technology. Let's see, we picked it.
Correct.
Good, I get to do my job.
All right, yes, absolutely. Oh, that's amazing. So that is also built into this unit, or you could create a quiz of your own.
Absolutely.
Wow. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. Well, let's talk to a couple of students who have had the experience of utilizing this. And I know that Ahmed is one of them, Ahmed Escobar, and Colleen Carney is two of the brave souls who are willing to come on up. Come all the way up. So you are both in the closing stretch of studying in the PTA program here at Gateway to be physical therapy assistants. Real quick, I'd love to hear a little bit about, from each of you, what drew you into this program, what made you interested in the first place in pursuing this study. Ahmed.
Yeah, well, for me, first of all, I always knew I wanted to be in the medical field. I guess the problem was I didn't really want to do nursing, and I was someone who was always involved in weightlifting, and I really had a good understanding of the muscular anatomy. And this field just really made sense for me. And, yeah, it was just a good choice for me to do this.
Sounds like folded into your own personal interests.
It worked for me.
And then how about you?
I have always wanted to be in healthcare, and I can't handle needles or blood or anything like that. So I figured this was kind of the best solution for me to be able to still help people.
Good. Yeah, that's right. PTAs don't deal much with blood, or we hope not. that would be a rare occurrence and an unfortunate occurrence. So tell us what kind of difference you think this has made for your studies and the ways in which you think this has been particularly helpful for you.
Yeah, so for me, I think that when we're looking at a textbook or looking at an anatomy model, we're really limited in what we can see. With this, we're able to isolate each muscle. We need to have really good understanding of the functions of the muscles, and we need to see where the muscle starts and where it inserts or where it attaches to. And this really helps us isolate each muscle, and we wouldn't be able to do that with just a model or with a textbook.
Right. Makes it a little closer.
I actually have never used this before until today, so I think seeing it and knowing what I used to study and then seeing this, I think it would be really helpful, and being able to manipulate and touch, it's much more like in depth than the models are.
Wow. So this is a big reveal for you as much as for me. Is there anybody else where this is your first day seeing the Animatage? Oh, most of you. This is a first day. So if anybody else wants to talk about it, you're welcome to come on up. Really and truly. Okay. Just a couple more questions about this field, and then we'll circle back to your instructor. Of course, being a physical therapist or physical therapist assistant is more than just knowing stuff. It's also a very interpersonal kind of activity. And how is that handled in the program, and what's most important in terms of working with people as a PTA, or are you yet to kind of learn that part of it?
Well, we've all had some clinical experience already. I think what our instructors do a really good job of is giving us good understanding and teaching us to be able to communicate with our patients. We see a lot of patients that are hurt, they're injured, and sometimes they're really nervous. Sometimes people come in thinking that we're going to hurt them or we're going to overwork them, and that's a really big misconception. We're there to help, and communicating and really understanding our patients is really key.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we take two like professional issues classes, mm-hmm. which sometimes does like discuss the difference of different patients and how they can respond and how we should act and in the proper way.
Very good. Well, glad to hear that. Well, thank you, Colleen and Ahmed, for your thoughts, and good luck with the rest of your studies. So could you take us through just a little bit more of that facet of all of this? Because as we were just talking about, it's more than just knowing what's the name of the muscles and how they are put together. There's another component that's very, very important, and how is that melded into all that you need to teach them?
Right, so they learn about different communication styles, and the more knowledgeable they are about the muscles or the background helps them to speak better with patients. So as I said earlier, they practice on each other in lab the skills that they have to do, and part of that practicing is they then have to do skills checkoffs or lab practicals where they have to actually demonstrate, and one of their classmates is a patient, and they have to go through kind of like a whole therapy session or portion of that session doing that skill using the proper terminology they'd be using with patients and asking the patients the questions that they'd be asking to help them find out more about what it is that they're trying to work on with that patient. And then so they're partially being graded on their demonstration of the skills, but then also their personal interactions and communications with the patient. And then from there, when they go out to clinicals with their clinical instructors, they are they're a little bit nervous because now these are real people who they haven't been in class with, who have a real injury or had a real surgery and maybe have some pain associated with that. But because they've had enough practice in the classroom, then they feel a little more comfortable in having that interaction with their patients on clinicals. We also maybe 3 years ago started doing a exercise class where we go over to a senior apartment complex that's nearby, and the students are paired either one student to one participant or two students to one participant, just depending on the numbers that we have. And so these particular people do not have injuries, but they're just coming for an exercise class, and just gives them another opportunity to interact with people who they're not familiar with. And they see we go there for 8 weeks, one day a week, so just gives them more personal interaction experiences.
I suppose that's a special challenge in and of itself when you are dealing with that particular population in terms of what you can do or how hard you can push. Or, I mean, we think at least of the body of the elder, typically elderly person, as being more fragile, right, and more vulnerable to inadvertent injury.
Right. And it really depends on the person. So everybody has variations. I mean, we have there are some people in the senior population who are still riding their bikes, miles per day, or they even are still out running or exercising on a regular basis. And then some who are more frail, who, aren't getting out very much and are sitting in a chair. And you really have to understand that difference and understand the body and the exercises you're doing and the effects on the body the exercise has, so you know how hard you can push a patient.
Now, you said earlier that your students work on each other, right? So does that have anything to do with student X coming in and they have a crick in their neck? Or, I mean, part of, we think of a physical therapist working with people who have a problem of some kind that needs to be addressed. So are they not working with each other in that respect, trying to help each other's problems? Is it just to get to know, in a sense, each other's bodies?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's not usually people that have injuries. Now, occasionally we do have a student in a class who's maybe had a shoulder surgery, or they've hurt their knee in the past or something. But typically, it's just getting to know the body in general. And one of the things we practice a lot on in each other is just measuring the range of motion. So how far can somebody bend their knee, or how far can somebody straighten their knee, and then measuring their strength. So I'm looking to see how strong when you do a bicep curl, how strong is that muscle to hold that. So they're kind of doing those skills on each other, and that's why we get really good at it in the classroom or in the lab setting, because these people most of them don't have injuries or pain, so then they are very comfortable and competent in that. So then they go out to the clinic, then they have that basis competence level or confidence level, so that they know and they can learn how to adjust it and be a little bit more careful with patients
with real people,
right?
So how long is the program here? How long does it take to get through and ultimately secure that certification as a physical therapist assistant?
It's a 2-year program, so 4 semesters. And like I said, we have classes. We have theory classes or lecture classes, lab classes, and then they have 3 clinical classes that are interspersed. So the first clinical they go on in their second semester. The second clinical they go on their 3rd semester. And then the final clinical they go on in on their 4th final semester. And that clinical is actually 40 hours a week for 8 weeks. So by the middle to end of that, they're expected to be practicing as an entry-level PTA, so they'll be having their own independent caseload under the direction of their clinical instructor, but they are working to be at the level that they would be when they first get a job.
Wow. So where are these folks in this room? I mean, are they about to embark on that, or have they already begun that?
They'll be starting their final clinical on February 17th, so they all know where they're going to go. They've made contact with their clinical instructor, and then starting February 17th, they'll be out at their clinical for the 8 weeks full time.
Very good. Is this something that can typically lead to somebody down the road becoming an actual physical therapist? Is that a common pathway?
It can be a pathway. It's not necessarily common with our students, but it definitely is an option. We do have an articulation agreement with UW Parkside for their applied health science bachelor's degree. And so they accept all of our PTA classes toward that. And then from there, you'd have to have a bachelor's degree before you could apply to a doctorate of physical therapy program.
Right, which is what you have.
Right.
Very good. Well, you've showed us a lot of interesting things here, and not just this remarkable piece of technology, but also the remarkable men and women in this room and all that they are studying in order to become physical therapists. And so we really appreciate you taking the time and allowing this interruption in the important work that you do here. And again, thank you so much for all that.
Oh, absolutely. I'm sure the students love an opportunity not to have me listen to me talking to them.
Well, they are smiling, so we do appreciate that. So anyway, Tracy Gotts, a physical therapy assistant instructor here at Gateway Technical College and the teacher of this particular class, Rehab Across the Lifespan. We spoke with Katrina McGovern, a nursing lab assistant, with Morgan Kaiser, director of skills and simulation, who oversees all of this amazing machinery, and Ryuta, a lab assistant and an alum of this program. And we're thankful to Ahmed Escobar and Colleen Carney, who were brave enough to get up here and tell us a little bit about their studies here at Gateway in the PTA program. So thanks again for allowing us into your fascinating world. Best wishes with your studies and all of the people that you are going to be helping in the years to come. And thanks for being part of the morning show. I'm Gregory Berg. And my thanks to WGTD's own Troy McDonald for his technical assistance in making this program possible. And again, this is a program that can also be viewed in video format on WGTD's Facebook page. Tomorrow on the morning show, Eric Johnson, a faculty colleague of mine from Carthage College, assistant professor of economics, an expert in trade, and in particular, an expert on U.S. trade with China. And we'll be talking with him in an interview we recorded a couple of weeks ago about the trade war that has been existing between the United States and China. On Thursday's morning show, we'll be talking with the author of a book called Abandoned, who explores what she believes is the crisis of disconnection involving many, many young people in America. And on Friday, we'll be previewing the new play that opens at Kenosha's Rhodey Opera House by the Lakeside Players. And we'll be talking with Rachel Velikis and Alvaro Garcia about an exciting concert coming up at UW Parkside. Rachel is the Howard Brown resident artist at Parkside this week. Support for the morning show comes from Carthage College, home of the Aspire program and its multifaceted approach to career preparation. The new program is designed to cultivate leadership and entrepreneurial skills while empowering each Carthage student to shape a custom career development plan from their first days on campus. Learn more about the Aspire program at carthage.edu/aspire.